are you doing today? Doing well? Yeah? Good. Well, I want to wish you a happy new year. And how many of you are excited about another year? Or how many of you are dreading another year? Let's have an honest survey in the house here this morning. How many of you are going into this next year a little bit weary? A little bit not sure? I don't know. You're kind of comparing 2018 and you're thinking, oh no, here we go. Maybe? Yeah, I see that hand. Well, I want to just encourage you this morning, and I hope this message today would be a source of inspiration and challenge and encouragement for you as we kick off the series. I'm really happy to be here and stepping in for Pastor Danny. Liliana sends her greetings. She cannot be here this morning. I'm feeling like there's a specific word for us this morning as we kick off this new year, as we start this first Sunday of the year. And wouldn't you stand to your feet, and we're going to just read our text this morning. Would you just stand with me this morning? And here we go. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, starting at verse 9. It's just two verses, and here it goes. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." That's an interesting statement, and we're going to unpack that. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And look at this. And God granted his request. I don't know what sort of request you're going into 2019, but I want you to know that our Heavenly Father, our good God, is still in the business of granting our requests. Amen. So, Father, this morning as we unpack this, would you just speak to us? Would you speak life, and would you allow your word to change our mindset, transform the way we're thinking, and bring encouragement to our hearts. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Why don't you say hi, high five to someone beside you before you have a seat this morning? Right on. Grab your seat. Well, I know you're all into greeting each other and all, but I got to get this message done because then I got to fly over to Steveston and do it again. So need to get it in right now. So before we unpack this prayer in more detail and more specifically, and how to pray for a blessed life, I'd like to just lay a bit of a foundation to where we're going, and because it's really important that we understand the premise of this prayer, and when it comes to some truths about living a blessed life. See, I want you to know this morning that it's God's desire and will that each of us live a blessed life, that we walk in his blessing every day, that we live in his blessing every day, that we do life in his blessing every day. God wants you to be blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to be blessed. The sad thing is that there are far too many people, just through my travels and my experience. By the way, this isn't a mission message today. I'll come another Sunday to do missions and give you an update on that. But it's so good and a treat to just minister to you and preach in this series. But the sad thing is that there's far too many people in the church today that, due to whatever reason or due to life circumstances and life storms and situations and circumstances, we have stopped to believe that this is true for our life, that it's actually possible to live in constant blessing of God. that we can actually do life in the blessing of God, regardless of our situation and circumstances. And oftentimes, we settle to live a mediocre life, or in some cases, even a cursed life. But today, we want to break out from our past. Come on. We want to break out from perhaps the pain that we have been carrying in our lives, and what has defined us and what has confined you, because God desires for us to live the blessed life. Help me preach this morning. The blessed life may include material and financial possessions, but guess what? It's much more than that. The blessed life is when you and your family are growing in your relationship with God, and your marriage is getting better. The blessed life is when your family unity is improving, and when unity is growing in a church, or your health is improving. The blessed life is that as you get older, you're getting stronger and not weaker. Come on. Yeah, there you go. The blessed life is having the wisdom of God. Whoa, what did I do? The blessed life is having the wisdom and the favor of God surrounding you like a shield on a daily basis. Having the power that you need to overcome difficult circumstances. The blessed life is living victoriously rather than a victimized life. The blessed life is about living life in the fullness of joy, in the fullness of peace, in the fullness of hope, in a world that is filled with uncertainties today. Wisdom in making good decisions and right choices. That's the blessed life. Amen? And so there's a few things you need to know about the blessed life this morning before we unpack this prayer. The blessed life is God's idea. If you're taking notes, that's a good thing to write down. The blessed life is God's idea. It's not my idea. It's not man's idea. It was God's idea from the very beginning. In fact, after God created Adam and Eve, the first thing he did was he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, rule it, have dominion over it. Genesis 1:28. Does this sound like a God who is limited, or a God who wants his people to be limited? Not at all. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to multiply and have dominion in the earth and have influence in the earth. God didn't create us to be dominated by anything, but rather he created us to dominate the enemy. He's created us to dominate darkness and sin and fear and anxiety and depression that many times confine our lives as human beings, and all those things that many times attack us and try to cripple us. The blessing is the secret to the dominion and fruitfulness that God wants you and I to walk in and experience in everyday life. It's the secret to all that God has for you and all that God wants you to do. So the blessed life is God's idea. The other thing is that the blessed life is God's will. It's God's will for your life. He said it. I want you to be blessed as my son and my daughter, as my children. The other thing is that the blessed life is essential to fulfill God's purpose in your life. Have you ever thought that? The blessed life is essential for you to accomplish the purpose in your life. In other words, he gives us everything we need to win in life, to fulfill his purpose for our life. It's like, you know, it's like our Canadian government would never send our soldiers, would never send our troops into battle, into a war, without giving them the equipment and the tools and giving them everything they need in order to win that battle, in order to conquer, in order to reduce the number of casualties in that battle. And so it's necessary that they have the right weaponry and equipment needed to get the job done. And so we equip our soldiers, we equip our troops with everything they possibly need to achieve their purpose in battle. Our nation blesses them with the power to do what has been assigned to them to do, right? In the same way, God doesn't call you, doesn't call me, doesn't call his church to do anything without giving us the equipment, the tools, the power, everything that we need in order to fulfill his purpose. You see, the equipment is the blessing. The blessed life is essential for us to be able to do what God has called us to do. How can we reach the world if we're not blessed with his wisdom?
if we're not blessed with his ability and his goodness and his favor and his gifts and his spirit and his anointing and his power, we cannot fulfill his assignment that he has been given, that he has given to each and every one of us. And the other thing that we need to know about the blessed life as the foundation, the blessed life is your right. The blessed life is your right. As a child, son, and daughter of God, it's our right. The woman who was bent over for 18 years, do you remember that story? The Bible talks about this woman who was bent over for 18 years. And Jesus goes to her and he says, "Woman, thou art loosed." And that woman, for the very first time in 18 years, was able to sit up straight and was no longer bent over. And Jesus got criticized for healing this woman on the Sabbath. And what did he say? He says this. He says, "The woman is a daughter of Abraham. Therefore, she has every right to be healed on the Sabbath." In Galatians 3:29, it says, "If we belong to Christ, we're Abraham's seed. We're heirs according to the promises of God." Whatever promise God made to Abraham, he makes to you and he makes to us today. Do you believe that this morning, that you are the Abraham seed? And so it's our right as children, as sons and daughters of God, to be blessed. "And to as many who have received him, to them he gave power to become children of God." He gave them the power to be blessed, to fulfill their God-ordained purpose in life. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us come now. Let us come to the throne of grace with confidence." Or another word we can use is with boldness, boldly, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, note something here. We're told where to go. We're told to go to the throne. And we're told he doesn't only tell us where to go, but he tells us what kind of throne, the throne of grace. But he's also telling us how to go. And what does he say? How do you go to the throne? How do you approach the throne of grace today? He says, "Let us come boldly into the throne of grace." See, he doesn't say come timidly. He doesn't say come begging. He doesn't say come sheepishly or ashamedly. He says come boldly. If he said it, then we should do it, don't you think? And so why should we come boldly? Because today, the prayer of Jabez is all about Jabez coming with confidence and boldly to the throne of grace. And he pleads with God, "You've got to change my life. You got to give me a different life." That's what he was saying in essence in this prayer today. And so why should we come boldly? Because the Bible says we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And as far as he's concerned, in Hebrews 10:19, he sees us as his righteousness and we are holy before him. Therefore, we have the right to access God's throne of grace to receive from him. Are you following me this morning? We have the right because we've been washed by the blood. We've been cleansed by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for you and for me. I believe that as we go into 2019, as we need to approach the throne of grace with confidence. You need to approach the throne of grace with the boldness like you've never have before. How many are ready to do that? Some of us. You know, remember when you were a kid, you played that game, Truth or Dare, right? We didn't like the truth part, right? How many of you would say, I prefer getting dared to do something than telling the truth? Because you don't know what someone's going to ask you. And so we like to be dared. You know, when you get dared to do something, it's almost like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go for this. I'm going to prove to you that I can do this. There's this automatic instinct of yeah, bring it on, right? You follow? We like that part. There's something deep inside of us all that wants to go beyond and wants to believe for greater things than what we're experiencing right now. Something inside of us that is hungry for more, where we know this isn't all that there is, right? The blessed life, friends, this morning is a choice. Because blessed means empowered to succeed. Empowered to succeed. Cursed means to be defined and confined by your past and by your pain. That's the cursed life, where I'm defined by my past and pain and I'm imprisoned by that. Jesus has done his part. He shed his blood on the cross this morning, church, to deliver us from sin, power, the power of the devil, and to deliver you from the curse of the law. But now it's up to you and I to walk into that blessing. It's a choice we make in life to choose blessing or to choose cursing. Jesus already broke the curse on the cross, didn't he? And we can choose to stay in our confinement. We can choose to stay in our prison. We can choose to stay in our mediocrity and live far below all that God has purposed us to live for. But make no mistake, that is not God's will for you to stay in your confinement today and live in your past and continually live in your pain, to continually live in your anxiety or your abuse or your unbelief or your doubt or your lack or your addiction or whatever prison that we're born into. God wants you to know that you can choose to break out of it today. He's already paid the price for it. He's broken the curse, and you can walk in the fullness of his blessing today. You see, in Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 17, he says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. What are you going to choose in this next year? How many of you today want to choose to walk in the fullness of God's blessing for your life? Unashamedly. I'm going to dare you to believe that it's my right, it's your right to walk as a child of God, to walk in all of God's power in 2019, to walk in all of God's authority, to walk in all of God's anointing, and to all the blessings that he has for you. As you begin your journey in 2019, I encourage you to go in with expectation. I want you to expect. I want us to expect more than you've ever expected. Expect the best that God has for you. Expect that God means what he says. And here in 1 Corinthians 4, 9, Jabez was more honorable, the Bible says. This is interesting. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez because she said, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, Jabez, it's a pretty cool name, right? It's probably a name that you would probably tattoo yourself with. Right? It's one of those Jabez. Yeah, it would be great on my arm right here, you know. It'd be great to have it on my ankle and wherever else people get tattooed. We're not going to go there. But you never know, right? The meaning of Jabez isn't that cool, because it means pain. Now, I'm not immune to my name being made fun of. Right? I've been called all sorts of names, starting with my first name, Thomas. You know, one of the disciples was doubting Thomas. I've been calling. You know, I've actually been told, hey, there's doubt in your name. Well, thank you. I received that. Hello? I refuse that curse in Jesus' name. But I'm believing Thomas. Right? You know, and let's not talk about my last name, because that's been butchered all kinds of ways. I've been called SpaghettiOs. I've been called all kinds, and the best one was when I was preaching once in Australia, and in the bulletin it says, you know, our guest this morning is Thomas Spirit-Filled Yahtzee. I like that one. I'm like, okay, that's a classic. I like that one. Man. My name in the Greek, Spirit-Filled, okay. So, his name wasn't that cool. The meaning of his name wasn't that cool. He was known as the child of pain. Talk about creating a self-esteem, an image problem, being labeled pain and carrying the stigma with you wherever you go. Imagine being called pain by your mother day in and day out. Hey, pain. Hey, you're a pain in the neck. Every time he was called by his name, it reminded him of what he represented and the pain that he brought to his mother. The Bible says she bore him in pain. Obviously, it was because she had a very difficult pregnancy and probably a very complicated birthing process. But it was also believed that her husband died around Jabez's birth. And so he's going through this pain of loss and being a single mother. And she's going through this. Going through the pain of raising this child alone and having to remember every time she is having to look at this child that she is reminded of her husband who she loved, who is no longer part of her life. And now she's a single parent and she's doing this life all alone and raising this child all alone. Jabez was a constant reminder of her pain and her sorrow and loss and what she went through. Jabez not having a father and so forth. So we can all identify today with pain, right? We all have pain. Your name might not be called Jabez. Your name might not be meaning pain. But I guarantee you in this room today, every one of us has experienced pain. Or currently experiencing pain in your life. Or a certain memory that brings about pain. This morning, as you reflect back, maybe the past year or 2 years, maybe for some of you it's been a season of pain. And I know what that's all about. We've experienced, as a family, our season of pain. And as long as you and I are on this earth, we're going to come into circumstances and situations that are going to cause us pain. But maybe for some of you this morning, sequential circumstances have taken place in your life and in your family, setbacks in your marriage or work or business or a family fallout of some sort or a personal failure in your own life or hurt or disappointment or frustration, loss, loneliness, anxiety, depression has caused you pain. The reality is that today we all have some level of pain that we carry in our life. But I think it's important for us to understand that how we view the pain in our lives and what we do with the pain is what makes the difference. The pain in your life is not what makes the difference because we all have pain and we're all dealing with it. Whether you grew up in a dysfunctional home or abusive situation or you've been in an environment of lack of affirmation or a fatherless home or a loveless home, whatever situation you grew up in, we all grew up in some sort of pain, born with pain. But it's not the pain that determines the outcome of your life, but it's how we view it and how we respond to our pain. Pain doesn't have to be the last word over your life today. Like it was for Jabez. The cliche that goes like this, the pain in your life can either make you bitter or make you better. You know, pain oftentimes is actually healthy for us to experience because it determines who we're going to become. It develops your character. We all got to make the choice today how we will deal with the pain in our life. You make a choice about the pain that has been brought to you and the pain that perhaps you have caused. Is it making you bitter or is it making you better? Here's a question you need to ask yourself. What are you becoming through the pain in your life? Who are you becoming through the pain of your life? In verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Here he's giving this name, he's been given this name pain. His life was surrounded by pain and sorrow, and yet he's described as more honorable than his brothers. You see, friends, the key to the blessed life is we have to make a choice of what we're going to do about the pain in our life and who are we going to become. Are you going to become more honorable or are you going to become dishonorable? We make the choice by how we deal and respond to that pain. You see, honorable means courage. It means understanding and one who rises above his circumstances. Wow. How many of you? That's what honorable means. How many of you want to be known as more courageous, understanding, and one who rises above his circumstances? Jabez was more honorable. He was more courageous and understanding than his brothers, and he rose above his circumstances. And Jabez makes a choice to be more honorable despite of his situation, despite of his circumstance, despite of the stigma and the label that he was carrying over his life and the pain and the grief, and to live a life of suffering and hardship. Jabez does something about it. He chooses to be more honorable and rises above that circumstance and what his name defined him as. He took what was supposed to be a curse and turned it into a blessing. Wow. And we see proof of this in one sentence. He was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez was an above normal person of honor. And I think this shows the tenacity of Jabez. He wasn't going to be bitter. He wasn't going to despise his mother for giving him this name. He wasn't going to become motivated by everything his name meant. It was, if we are going to live the blessed life, it's going to be because we are honorable people. People aren't afraid to be courageous and to take risks and to be bold. Not afraid to ask God to bless us. Not afraid to step out of our comfort zones, to be different than how we grew up. To break out of our mediocrity and limitation and how people may have defined you. Because when people define us, we become confined. Friends, we need to be redefined this morning. Some of you need to be redefined. Basically, Jabez chose to redefine himself. We no longer will allow people to define us. We no longer will allow pain and circumstances to define us. Or you can say, no matter how much pain I've had to endure in my life, I will not allow it to define me. I'm going to be courageous and ask God boldly. I'm going to break out of my confinement and victimization. I'm going to rise above my limitation and be more honorable. You have to choose what person you're going to become. And when you have had some pain and when you have been surrounded by pain, when you make up your mind, I'm choosing to be blessed and I'm going to rise above this pain, now you're ready for verse 10. Jabez begins to pray, and he prays in a way that probably he's never prayed before. In fact, he's never prayed so boldly. You see, you can't really pray until you've gone through pain. You might say, what? Let me tell you this. Sometimes something happens in your prayer life when you have had to endure pain in your life. Your prayer life becomes transformed having had to journey through and overcome some difficult life situations. It's not just some religious habitual routine prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you that I'm your beloved child and I'm so good and bless me. My life is so great. You will never pray with power until you've prayed from pain. You will never fully experience the power, the presence, if the blessed life God created you for, until you pray from pain, until you pray out of pain. What do I mean by that? I mean, I pray from pain, you pray through pain, and you pray out of pain. You can't fully experience this dimension of power until you have had some pain. Think about it. Until it hurts, you usually don't do anything about it, right? Pain causes me to pray. Difficult situations cause me to pray. And my posture in prayer changes automatically. Now there's an urgency about my prayer. There's a desperation to my prayer. There's a whole other level of passion in my prayer. Now Jabez is in a situation where his life is surrounded and defined by pain. But now, ready to pray from a heart that is hungry and desperate. And he prays one of the most bold, passionate prayers in the Bible. It was no casual, timid prayer. Oh Lord, would you please bless me now? It wasn't one of those, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep prayer. The Bible says he cries out his prayer. And he says, oh, God, that you might bless me indeed. Do you know that kind of prayer? In the moment of desperation, in the moment where you say, God, I can't handle one more
news of negativity. I can't handle one more negative report from the doctor. I can't handle one more thing that my son or daughter does in rebellion. Do you know that kind of desperation? This is the cry of a hurting heart that knows a thing or two about pain. You see, you can't just pray the prayer passively. Jabez had reached a place in his life where he had enough. And he positions himself for change in his life, to transition from pain to potential. And God wants you to go from pain to potential this morning. He no longer wanted to live his current condition. Something for Jabez had to change. There was an urgency in his prayer. He wanted to sense the impartation of supernatural favor. To be blessed means to have supernatural favor injected in an ordinary and challenging life that you're facing right now, today, in your life. To go beyond the everyday routine of pain into the realm where God is active and active in my painful situation, and is active in my circumstance, active in my marriage, in my business, in my opposition, in my rejection, in my personal failure, to the point where God is affecting my current scenario and reversing it for blessing. Jabez, oh, that you would bless me. This protects you from expecting it from other people. In other words, I'm not waiting for anyone to bless me to feel the loneliness in my heart. Only Jesus feels it. To take care of my needs. I'm not expecting it from anybody. I'm trusting that He will bless me. Oh, God, that you would bless me. And so this prayer is not something that you work up or get psyched up over. It naturally happens out of your desperation and the pain that you face. I've got 5 minutes. It's you embracing that pain and that hardship and receiving it, because that makes you have to face the real needs in my life so that I can be affected by what I'm going through, so that I can go to God with urgency and passion and cry out, oh God, bless me, get me out of this situation, heal me, deliver me, give me another life. There's this raw honesty that takes place in our prayer. Praying from pain produces power, and it brings you into God's purpose. You must have God's blessing on our lives to do what God has called you to do. Jesus says, pray, seek, ask, keep on asking. Don't ever stop asking, because God wants you to ask. God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all you can think or ask. Second thing Jabez prays is, enlarge my territory. Lord, I want more. How many of you want more? I'm not talking about more real estate. I'm talking about more in God's blessing for you. Jabez was responsible for Israel, and the Canaanites were coming in and trying to reshape Israel. And Jabez was saying, I don't want the Canaanites to reshape Israel. I want Israel to reshape the Canaanites. Lord, I want what you've done in my life to spread and grow and expand and have influence. I want to make an impact. It's time for your life to have the same effect in 2019, that you would grow and break out of your limitations and expand and influence beyond where you are currently today, that you would be enlarged spiritually and get promoted in your church, get promoted in your job, at work, enlarge you financially, that you would get promoted in the community and in the area, in the sector that you are working in, that God would enlarge you in your thought life, that you would be able to think beyond where you've been before, and you're not going to be defined and held back by the pictures and the pain of your past or by the people of your past who may have caused you hurt. I'm asking God to enlarge our territory. We're asking Him to expand our opportunities, our ministry opportunities, our work opportunities, our community opportunities. We're asking Him to increase our influence for the gospel. We're asking God to bring us further, to bring us deeper, to cause us to seek new horizons, to reach people outside of our current territory. We're asking God for the increase in our ability to reach more people and do greater things for the glory of God. I'm going to ask the team to come up as I finish this off. No one moving. Please stay in this
time of adoration and is very important. Are you ready to say, to pray such a prayer? Are we ready to have God expand our lives? Are we ready to be more involved? Are we ready to be more, to have more responsibility? Jabez asking God to expand this territory. He was ready for God to move him outside this zone. Are we willing to have God to do the same in our lives? Are you willing this morning to hang on, like the sister told us before, prophetically, until God blesses me? Wow. And then he says, let your hand would be upon me. The hand of God represents his authority. God, I want to get under your authority. I don't want to get out of your authority. I want to be fully submitted to you, to your will, firstly and foremost. His hand not only speaks of authority, but it speaks of his protection. I'm closing. Hang on. All right. His protection, his shield over my life, protecting me, covering me, keeping me safe from the life's journey, trials, and situation. God's hand sheltering me from evil. And God's hand also represents his provision, covering me, keeping me safe, or providing over me, being the God, Jehovah Jireh, giving me everything I need. I cannot do what God has called me to do without his hand upon my life. And fourthly, he prays that you would keep me from evil so that I will be free from pain. Jesus said to us, let's pray this way. Deliver us from evil. Deliver me from wrong people and surround me with the right people. Deliver me from wrong desires and give me the right desires. Deliver me from wrong decisions and surround me with the wise, good, and right decisions. And God, at the end, says he granted him his request. Don't you love that part? God gave him what he asked for. And you know what? If you belong to Christ this morning, if you are, then you are Abraham's seed. Our good Father today will give you what you ask. Ask for whatever he said you can ask for. He said you could also for these things. If we weren't supposed to ask for these things, he wouldn't have granted them to Jabez. If he granted them to Jabez, then he blood sworn that he would grant them to us. You know, this morning, you know, I think the tension sometimes is that when we're living in blessing, or we feel like, oh, I can't boldly, confidently go to the throne of grace and ask God to bless me. That feels selfish. And then you see someone, or a brother, or a sister, or a neighbor that's struggling. And that makes you feel even more guilty. Who am I to go and say, God bless me, even more than what I'm blessed? Don't let it make you feel guilty. Let it inspire you and figure out a way that you can go bless that neighbor, or bless that brother, or bless that sister. To feel like we're selfish when we're going to God and say, bless me indeed with every blessing you have for me. Are you ready to do that in 2019? Would you stand up this morning? Time is gone. I need to go. I wish I could stay and pray with you, but I know this young man is going to stay and pray with you. And I think you guys need to just spend a few minutes and boldly approach the throne of grace. Amen. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to do that? Lift up your hands and begin worshiping God this morning. Thank you. Love you guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Thomas, for that. And I know sometimes pain can be a really hard thing. I remember one time when I was going through stuff, I was reading through the Bible, and I turned to James and I talked on, consider it pure joy when you're going through tribulations. And during my teenage stuff, I closed the book and threw it across the room. I was so mad. I'm like, what a load of baloney. But then God reached me at that point, and I kind of realized that when we go through our pain, we're able to help other people, and that we can consider it pure joy. And so as we come to sing this song, I just want to invite a couple people to come up for prayer. And if you need prayer, feel free. prayer is a really good thing, and it's something that needs to be in our lives. And I just want to encourage you in that.